And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, we'll jump right into this one. This show is really a follow-through from our last conversation. We're continuing our focus on platinum and palladium, but with a bit of a twist. We're taking a look at geopolitics in the market.
That's true, Rob. As I delved into these markets a couple of weeks ago, I became interested and then intrigued and even fascinated not only with the physical demand and physical and chemical characteristics, but also the geopolitics of this market.
Okay, before we talk geopolitics, a topic that we didn't dive into in any great detail last time that perhaps deserves further explanation this time out, and that is the location of these metals and the geological environments in which platinum and palladium are found. Shed some light on that. Educate us on that, Mickey.
Well, we mentioned they occur in South Africa, Russia, Canada, the U.S., and Zimbabwe. We did not mention these are very specific and unusual geological environments associated with layered ultramafic intrusions, such as the Bushville, the Stillwater Complex in Montana, and the Great Dyke, formerly called the Great Dyke of Rhodesia. Mafic, ultramafic intrusions, that would be the giant complex at Norilsk in Russia, and meteor impact deposit at Sudbury in Ontario.
Okay, well, South Africa and Russia are the two real main suppliers of platinum and palladium to the global market. Zimbabwe is also on the picture, perhaps on the outside edge looking in, because certainly not up to the standards and the weight of South Africa and Russia. But give us a breakdown as to how much mine supply these countries are responsible for.
For platinum, 94% comes from these countries, very much dominated by South Africa, about 80%. Palladium, about 79%, which is equally split between South Africa and Russia. Zimbabwe is minor, with production declining. We'll talk a little bit about the reasons why, but these countries are not exactly stable political situations and or not especially friendly to North America.
Yeah, indeed. Each country has its own set of problems and potential problems that impact on supplying metals to the market. And today we're talking platinum and palladium. And this really goes to the heart of what you wanted to talk about, Mickey. So let's take a look at each country individually, beginning with South Africa. What are some of the main problems there?
Well, first of all, the PGM sales in South Africa equals about 10% of export revenue, with only over 150,000 people employed. So it's obvious it's critical to the economy of South Africa. Production lately has been subject to aging infrastructure, power disruptions, labor issues, and of course ownership interests with black empowerment movement, which is logical in a country where only 8% of the people are white.
Well, you mentioned how critical it is to the economy of South Africa. Timely commentary from you on that, because South Africa just has reported that second quarter economic growth slowed to an annualized rate of 3.2%, and you're bang on. Part of the reason for the drop, a slump in mining exports. Let's move on to a country which is not your favorite, I don't think. Certainly not a hotbed of democracy and free enterprise, Zimbabwe. And boy, oh boy, the list of problems there is quite long.
Well, it is, starting in 1980, when the Marxist fascist government of Robert Mugabe was established. There are four foreign-owned companies that produce from the aforementioned Great Dyke, and mining is greater than 50% of the country's export. Since year 2000, the GDP has dropped 40%. We all know about the land seizures and the hyperinflation. Probably most people don't know it has the lowest life expectancy in the world at 35 years. And now we have establishment of empowerment companies to take control of the mines. Rob, there's even a minister called the Youth Indigenization and Empowerment Minister. So
the person
the
with
future for Zimbabwe as a platinum palladium producer does not look particularly rosy at this stage.
Yeah, and to further amplify what type of situation is taking place in Zimbabwe, don't know if you saw this article. According to the Sunday Telegraph in the UK, Mickey, Iran has made a secret deal with Zimbabwe to mine its untapped uranium reserves. So there you go, talking about getting into bed with the devil.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What about Russia? Some big Western mining companies have operations in Russia. Mickey, what's the political climate like there now?
Well, there's always seems to be political intrigue going on in Russia. The big boy on the block is Norilsk Nickel, one of the world's giant mining companies and mine metallurgy complexes in far northern Siberia. Mm-hmm. This company contributes 2% of GDP to Russia. And they own a significant portion of the Stillwater complex in Montana. Right now we have a feud going on between two Russian oligarchs, each of whom own 25% of the company, with about 50% owned by the public. Norilsk Nickel actually trades on the New York Stock Exchange. But there's been charges of rigged board of directors election. Each of these oligarchs holds about $8 billion worth of shares. Neither can raise the capital to buy the other out. There's been rumors the Russian government will come in and buy one of them out, but it's kind of a mess right now. Of interest, though, is they intend to sell their interest in the Stillwater complex of Montana, and there's a plan in place right now to start recycling palladium at Stillwater, which bodes well for the U.S. situation.
Okay, well, expand a little bit further on that U.S. situation. Also, what is taking place in Canada? How much platinum palladium production do we have occurring right now in those two countries, and is it coming anywhere close to meeting demand?
Well, we have significant platinum palladium production in the U.S. and Canada, but we are the two countries and dominated by the U.S., of course, but we are the greatest consumers in the world. So the U.S. is a big net importer, and we're especially vulnerable because of short-sightedness by the U.S. government. What else is new? The strategic metal stockpile, which was established in 1960 and existed essentially to 1996, at one time or during that period of time, the U.S. held somewhere around 1.6 million ounces on average of PGMs. Clinton and the Congress started selling this off in 1997. This was followed by Little Bush, who continued, and by 2003, and currently we hold 9,300 ounces of platinum and palladium.
And wrapping up, Mickey, you've laid out nicely for us the geopolitical scene in major platinum and palladium producers such as South Africa and Russia. How much of an impact does that have on the price of the two metals?
Well, I think it has a lot. These metals are very sensitive to supply and demand, driven specifically by the auto industry and especially the palladium market. It is subject to spikes. I don't know if listeners remember, but there was a period of time during year 2000 where palladium was actually higher than platinum, and that was when Norilsk was shut down. All in all, very sensitive to supply and demand. Jack Lifton, who listeners will know as one of the strategic metals experts in the U.S., always considers a platinum-palladium ratio that's normal of 4-1. Now that ratio is 3-1. So if we follow Jack's logic, platinum either has to go up or palladium has to go down in the future.
Okay, let's end it on that note. Mickey, we'll see how those two metals trade going forward. Next time out, what do you want to talk about?
Well, Rob, we're going to do our third show on the rare earth elements. Prices have skyrocketed in 2010. We're going to look into the reason why and give an outlook for the future.
Okay, sounds good, Mickey. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, Rob, look forward to it.
And that's Mickey Folt, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.